Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Analysis. On this episode, I'm sitting down with CEO and co-founder of InPress, Adam Harder. The dating app, which can also be used to find friends, just launched in the district, and it will be available to the public on October 3rd. Take a listen to our conversation.
So, Adam, this app sounds really cool. You know, there are a lot of dating apps in the DMV that people prefer or whatever they like. But, it's a good city because there are a lot of singles, so we need more apps.
Yeah, that's true. People ask me, why did you launch a news-based dating and friends app in DC? And I'll like answer their question with a question of like, if you were to launch a news-based dating app, which city would you launch it in America? And they're like, that's a good point, right? Like the population here is educated, plugged in. And if you live in DC, you know that it's often disgruntled. So it's kind of just like it's a very good place to launch it, right? Like I live in Brooklyn, but I used to live in DC in Columbia Heights for 4 years. And I just moved up there. And my co-founder lives in DuPont. And so we basically just kind of decided it would be better to launch it right here in DC because first off, it's a lot harder as a startup to afford to bring an app to market in New York City. It's a much more crowded space. And frankly, we think like per capita, there's just probably more of a target audience for it here in DC. So we can prove the concept here and take it elsewhere when we get the funding for it. But basically it's working, right? It launched on Thursday. A soft launch, so it's like invite only right now, but we've already got about 500 users in a couple of days now, and that's about as good considering our shoestring budget as a startup. Like we're feeling pretty good about that. So
awesome. So you get about 500 users strictly in DC, or is that also in
strictly within 40 miles of DC?
Wow. And so what is the gist of the app for people who may not understand what it is? How does it work?
So InPress is a news-based dating and friends app. And what that means is it starts out like a news aggregator, sort of like Google News or Apple News, except it doesn't just show you more of the same stories that it thinks you want to see, which is essentially how a recommender system works on, say, Facebook or Apple News, right? It actually functions more like an old school newspaper. So everyone in the DC area sees the same stories on a given day. Granted, they can choose to read and not read what they want, like a newspaper. But every article or an outlet that's on InPress has already been vetted with a third party called AdFontes Media to be net neutral in their coverage, right? So you'll see outlets like Reuters, AP, BBC. You're not going to see like the Young Turks or Fox News on here, right? And that's because I'm a former journalist myself. I originally had this concept doing my master's in journalism innovation at Syracuse with an assignment that asked us to solve a problem in the media with technology. And to me, the problem has always been not just with media, but like, frankly, American society at large right now is the divisiveness, which is really propagated by social media recommender systems. So I just kind of was trying to think of ways, how can we make facts more appealing than fictions, right? Like clickbait misinformation on social is so appealing. It just agrees with everything that we think and how we want the world to actually be. But that's not how facts work, right? Facts are often not fun. They don't agree with us. So they're never going to be more appealing to us than wonderful little clickbait. So I thought, how can we actually make facts more appealing to the average person? And frankly, you know, rewards-based emotional appeal. That's kind of how we got to this. So drawing back to how the app actually works, it basically shows you that news. You can choose to read and not read what you want. But when you click on an article, it will ask you, how does this article make you feel? How interesting is it to you? And how important is it to you? And you can answer that in emojis and a slider. And what we're basically doing is we're scraping the keywords and topics from these articles and weighting that sentiment analysis, your feelings and interests against those. So you figure if a long piece might have, 7,000 words, there could be 200 keywords in there. You have 3 to 5 times emotional and interest ratings against that. That's actually like 1,000 data insights on the back end. So it doesn't even take that long to start to figure out what people subconsciously are into and their passions and their hobbies. And on InPress, that's the conduit for the matching. So unlike other dating and friends apps, instead of just how cute you are in your picture, how clever your bio is, and just kind of transactional swipes, like window shopping, this is very much how you think and feel about everything around you. And it's what we like to say, it's kind of the you that you are when no one else is around. It's like the real you that you can't even fake. We don't even put the control in the user's hands. You can't say what you're into. We just detect it based on all these different sentiment analysis factors. And that's how we connect you with other people. And I will just say that you can't match on political topics, right? Like you can't match on like Republican or Democrat or anything toxic. Like, you know, sometimes the news coverage is pretty dark, you know, as we both know, and we don't want people matching on things like, you know, school shootings. We want people matching on things like 930 Club and paddleboarding. So yeah, that's how it works.
That's pretty cool. So you're using kind of an algorithm to figure out what their likes and dislikes are, and then matching them based on that. Oh, that's pretty neat. And so what's the success rate like? Have you found that people have found success on this app?
So it's still very early days, right? It's only been a couple of days since we launched, and like everything, it takes, like when you have a data back like algorithm, it kind of has to marinate, right? Like OpenAI was a little finicky at first. So it's going to be that way for a little while, but we're already starting to see some kind of interesting subconscious interest come up, right? So last night we could see people matching on like indoor ice skating and the tennis finals of the US Open. And like, that's just kind of cool to see. Now, the one thing that I'll say on this too is that when you actually see a new profile, as we call a lead on Impress, it's like a suggested person saying, hey, this person's 75% similar match with you, and here are your top shared interests. So we actually show that information to the user upfront. So it's not like something that you only found out after you swipe on someone. We want it to be very candid because that helps inform the decision. And our hope is that if you see someone that you might've seen on another dating app that maybe you would have ignored, or you would have just thought like, nah, not for me, that by knowing that like, hey, this person also likes something random, like underwater basket weaving, something I'm just making up right now, that you're like, that's pretty random and cool. Like, let's talk about that. And then it kind of gives you talking fodder to break the ice with, instead of just kind of a cold, awkward, like, hey, I'm Adam. It's like, oh my gosh, you like 930 Club too. What's your favorite show there? You know?
That's pretty cool. So you have found that people have went on dates, or do they report back?
So we do not know yet. No, I do not know if anyone has actually closed the deal. I'm not impressed yet, but what we can see, if you ask me again in like a month, I'll probably be able to tell you that. Because we're building out a reporting system to find out. We don't want to like bug people about it because it's kind of personal, but like we also kind of, we do want to know, like we'll just put a form like, hey, how did this pan out for you? Like when you're talking to this person, what we'll probably be doing is kind of coding in a threshold that says these folks have been talking for X amount of time or have exchanged this amount of words, which would indicate that they're at least mildly interested in each other. And if they come off the app, then we'll probably know that, hey, they probably exchanged numbers and they're out doing something. So we'll ask them about that. What I can say is we're seeing a lot of conversation back and forth. Now, we don't read the conversations because we like literally made it so that we can't. But you can see that there's a lot of action happening. And what I will say is that what's interesting is that because we are friends and dating app, not just dating, there's not really many big players in the friends matchmaking market, right? There's Bumble BFF, but it's not exactly a beloved product. And so what we're seeing is that actually the female friend to friend version is booming right now. Like the women of DC are really liking this kind of holistic, genuine way to connect. And that's where most of our conversational traffic is, just, you know, 4 days in. So
that's pretty cool. Yeah, I find that a lot of people when they move to DC have a hard time making friends. So I can see how adults may want to connect and be friends. That's pretty cool. I like that. And right now, you know, a lot of these dating apps are expensive, Adam. So what are your fees like?
It's free. Free right
it's
now.
It's free. That's awesome. Any plans to charge at any point?
Yeah, so not as a requirement. So we're going to be launching a premium version of the app, which is pretty standard for anyone in this. You know, we got to make revenue somehow. But in October, there's some premium features that kind of enhance the dating experience, such as unlimited leads a day. If you're in anybody's leads queue, you're like, you could be moved to the front of it. You can see who's already swiped right on you. Sort of helpful things to make the dating experience or the connection experience more expedited. But again, that's an option. Like, nobody has to pay that, and that's only $19.99 a month. So
very cool. And so in terms of, you know, some people say that some of these apps are more exclusive than others. Is this always going to be invite only, or do you plan on opening it to the public?
Oh, it's still going to be open to the public on October 3rd.
October 3rd. Nice. Yeah. And what other markets are you in right now? DC?
No. Yeah. So we're only launching it in DC right now. And it's kind of this is maybe in little weeds in the business side of things, but I've learned since being a founder of a company like this, that it's very normal in this industry to start out in like one target market and get it right there, right? So like think about Facebook and Harvard, USC and Tinder, like San Francisco and Uber, right? These are all places where, because you need to build a network. And the example that I use with the challenge of building networks is that by building the app, you're basically building the mansion to host the party. But if you don't get anyone to the mansion party, then you just got a big empty mansion. and there will be no party. And that's the two-sided challenge with building it. Like, yes, we spent a year and a half building this awesome product, but now the challenge is making it cool and getting people on it and wanting to use it. And only after that point will people actually, like, will investors and stuff start to really actually look at investing in us, because they say, like, hey, it's a very cool concept. It's great for media literacy. It's good for bringing people together. You just got to prove that people want it now, you know, that they like it. I'm sorry. I totally lost my train of thought on that.
That was perfect. I was asking if it was in DC and it was really being public. So you said October 3rd. Yeah. It's going to be public in October 3rd. And then right now you're focused on DC. So
yeah, I will say though, if it's helpful, we're focusing on DC right now. Because also, like, you know, Georgetown's been very helpful for us. We go to a lot of Georgetown events. It's one of my alma maters. It just seemed like a really good fit. It's where my co-founder is. That's a city that wants it. So we just felt like this is the best fit to really get Impress off the ground, get the traction, prove the concept. And then we will be expanding to more cities post-funding. We have a plan for that, but I will not say what they are yet.
Yeah, keep it under wraps. Gotta keep your secrets. I get that. And so you mentioned school being one of your motivations for wanting to create this app. Any other motivations?
I mean, yeah, you know, to be totally candid with you, I come from rural Midwest. For all of its, you know, lovely strengths, I would say that media literacy is not a concept I grew up knowing. And a lot of people who I know there, that, like, doesn't matter to them, right? The quality of the information, it's more, I think where I grew up, there, at least, like, you know, probably decades ago, they didn't really have to question the quality of the data they consumed, because it was the pre-internet age and everything was kind of already vetted anyways in old school newspapers, right? So a lot of the folks that I grew up with, especially of older generations, you know, they didn't grow up needing to sort of have that skepticism to equip themselves with misinformation online. And then when the advent of Facebook comes along and all their friends are sharing certain things, and who also maybe don't know what to look for, that you can now, like, those of us who grew up with the internet can kind of, like, see right away, like, that's very suspicious. like that particular source is very suspicious. I think just becoming a journalist and always wanting to share information and being so connected to communication, it was troubling to me to see just how much communication and understanding and sympathy and empathy were suffering by way of recommender systems sharing nonsense or misinformation. And that was just dividing people. Not just me. I'm sure there's millions of Americans who probably have a similar story. And I just got tired of it, right? I mean, like, I was a journalist at the time, right? And I just thought that's horrible for journalism if objective fact is something that people aren't willing to just accept anymore. And that it's even worse if they're not willing to accept it and society as a whole is willing to accept that they don't accept it, right? Like, that's problematic. So I don't think, though, that facts will ever be more appealing than misinformation and things that agree with us already because of algorithms online. That's just not how our brains work. I find that if you tell people that they need to read more media literate information, or, like, you know, improve the quality of the news that they consume or the neutrality of it, it's not like eating veggies. Most people know that that's true, but when left to their own devices, they're probably going to go for the chocolate, right? And so that's why we need to basically incentivize it. I mean, that's where we are, at least in this particular case. It's something to feel good about because it's good for the user and it's good for society. And yeah. And I guess one other thing I'll just add that maybe you'll find interesting is the reason that we have only neutral information on Impress, aside from, you know, the ethical side of it and wanting people to be consuming factual information as a means to a greater end, is it's actually better for the user as well. Because if you think about it, if we were to allow any old news outlet on Impress, and I had an article that said water is wet, if it said there's too much water because of Democrats or not enough water because of Republicans, you would actually get sentiment analysis that's all over the place, because even though it's about water, it's about all these different skews of water, and it would make the matching a lot worse. But all I really need to know is that water is wet, and how you feel about that is fine. Do with that what you will. But that's how we're actually going to be able to determine proper data, is by setting everyone on the exact same path, a factual path, instead of leaving them to their own devices. And I do get people who ask, like, what if I only want to, I don't know, what if I want to just consume, like, some trashy information sometimes? And that's totally your information. Like, if that's your prerogative, that's fine, but you're just not going to find it on Impress. Like, we won't be lowering our journalism ethics standards to accommodate that. Yeah.
Got it. I understand that. So how do you choose which outlets you use? Because a lot of people say that's part of media literacy as well. So they trust some outlets more than others.
Yeah. So like I said, we work with a company called Adfontis Media. They basically have a tiny little army of researchers who have thousands of outlets on their platform that they'll rate the biases and neutrality of, or excuse me, the reliability of. So it's biases and reliability. And if you kind of think of that on like an XY axis, we want outlets that are up here. So the more skewed they are in their coverage, they'll end up like kind of on the periphery and they don't get in it. And so what we literally do is we go into their platform and we set parameters. Think of it like just like brackets, and anything that falls within this reliable neutral range can end up on Impress, assuming that it is in our third-party aggregator software, which is a whole other thing. But we're basically relying on multiple tools to do that. And I think too, as a company, it's kind of important that we make that explicitly clear, because we can't be seen as picking favorites, right? Like, there are plenty of very still objectively like decent outlets, right? Like the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal. I like to say outlets where journalists will lose their job for factual inaccuracy, right? Most of the time, there's still accountability very much so at those outlets, but in aggregate over the past few years, the data has shown that they're just right outside of our parameters. And so right now they don't make it on Impress. But the beauty of it is that because our business model is so geographically centric, as a dating app has to be, we can't have you match with people in Denver, right? You're probably never going to meet them. It really has a hyper focus on local news. DC News Now, your guys' stories are on Impress right now, and people are probably talking about them and matching over them and potentially falling in love over your coverage. Like, that's kind of a cool concept. So it really bolsters local media. We have like Washingtonian, Washington Blade, all of that on there, because that's also, it has more tangible outcomes. If I just show national news stories, like, you'll have some analysis, but if I tell you about a cool like DC food fair, that's something you can actually go do together. Yeah.
Very cool. And Adam, just walk us through your background just a little bit. I believe you also were involved, you served a little bit. And then you were also a journalist. So for people who may be fascinated about you, and how long ago did you start working on the app?
Sure. So, I'll start back at the beginning.
Yeah.
I moved to Cleveland, Ohio, and I did my undergrad at Kent State University in broadcast journalism. And I got to about my junior year, and I didn't grow up from very, we're a lower middle class family, right? Like, I didn't have any much financial support to pay for school, but school was always very important to me. And I knew that job at Pita Pit and Express wasn't going to cover the bills. So I walked into an Air Force recruiter's office because my older sister was in the Army, and she said, if you could join the service, you probably want to go for the Air Force. And I was like, okay, I didn't know what that meant at the time. But I walked in, so honestly, semi-begrudgingly, I didn't think I wanted to do it. And then they told me like, hey, we have broadcast journalism as a career in the Air Force. And I was like, you don't say. And so I auditioned for it, and luckily I got it. And I say the two best decisions I ever made in my life were getting into the Air Force and getting out of the Air Force, because I traveled overseas for 6 years as a reporter in Guam, Korea, Belgium, reporting just awesome stories throughout my mid-20s that a lot of my broadcast colleagues my age at the time, the 25 and below, just didn't have the opportunities to do, right? And as we know, it's a very portfolio-based business. So at that point, I did my first master's at Syracuse in journalism innovation while I was still in service. And then I got out and moved to DC for a tech job. This is kind of how this whole thing started. And I did another master's at Georgetown in integrated marketing communications, which is basically a fancy term for digital marketing. And then I guess,
No, that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm verbose.
Yeah. No. And so then is that how you started thinking about the app?
Yeah, well, I started thinking about the app. The thing is that, I had this idea for this app in like 2015 during my Syracuse master's as answer to a thesis assignment. But the thing is, the technology didn't really exist back then. And I remember my professor saying during my thesis, this is a really cool idea. And I'm like, you should actually consider pursuing this. But the fact of the matter is, I was, you know, in the Air Force, stationed in Belgium, had no network, had hardly any money. Like, there was not really any feasible way that I could really do that. And so I just kind of, I don't know, I guess I just kind of shelved it. But I was like, oh, maybe that'll be cool to do someday when I'm not in the current situation that I'm in. And years passed, you know, I kind of figured out what it was like to be a civilian and live like a normal person. And then last year, this is true, I was laying in bed in January in Brooklyn, and I scared my fiance in the middle of the night because I like jumped out of bed and had an idea. I was like, wait a second, that thing an idea I had in 2015 that would actually work way better now because of large language models. Like, that's the thing, that sort of large language analysis would be a great way to weight the sentiment through journalism. And I thought, I got to write this down. And I did. And I was like, somebody had to have done this by now. Like, in all these years, somebody had to have done this by now. And it turns out just nobody did. And that's why we were able to sort of patent the concept. And here we are now, a year and a half later from that time. And Impress is a fully formed company with a finished product. And we're doing great. It's kind of crazy to think that we're here now. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Launching in DC last Thursday. That's pretty cool. And more things to come. Great. I love that for you. It seems very cool, Adam. Really excited to share with our audience. Thank you so much for breaking it down.
Thanks for listening. You can watch this story on dcnewsnow.com. Search Tech Talk if you'd like to see more video.